The Reconstructionist Radio Podcast Network presents ReconCast, a podcast where two homeschool dads share the applications of faith in everyday family life.
ReconCast, Episode 4.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to ReconCast, just a couple of homeschool dads talking about recovering the faith for all of life. I am Joe Graham, homeschool father of 8, and joining me is my co-host, Dan Stahosky, homeschool father of 5. We're out here in the beautiful Northwest defending liberty and justice against the overrun of humanism and the secular state. Today, we're going to be catching up and spitballing some ideas about the future of ReconCast, some ideas for segments and things like that. So y'all just stay tuned and hope you enjoy. Without further ado, Dan. Hello.
Hey, Joe. I'm excited about this episode. Thanks for putting this together, and we are going to be talking about kind of putting some structure together for our podcast. That's exciting.
Yeah, is it really necessary?
Well, you know, that is a presuppositional question right there. Depends what is your standard, right?
I mean, you know, you can still have fun without having structure, I think, you know. People might not know what they're going to get.
Right. Well, you know, there's a few things. So we like to do a little catch-up session, right, at the start, right? That's kind of what we're in right now. This is called the catch-up segment.
Yeah, and then, ketchup. Like, that's one of my kids' favorite foods.
Ketchup. Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you spell ketchup?
Correctly.
Okay.
That's what I tell them.
Yep. So Joe, I mean, how was your week?
Well, let's see. For me, been working a lot. Pretty busy back at work, and at home, you know, my wife and I were expecting.
Congratulations!
Thank you. And so we are in the full throes of the beginnings of pregnancy, and so that means that, you know, that my efforts are a little bit more required than they normally are. So kind of trying to help mom out as best I can. You know, she's a little down for the count sometimes. She gets tired pretty early in the evening.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of doing a lot of that and kind of helping out with the family. That's kind of what I've been doing. So that's kind of my labor pretty much every day.
That is awesome. You know, Joe, have we told the audience that we also are expecting?
Hey,
do we know?
Congratulations,
both, do we know
Dan.
That we're both expecting a
That's
baby.
That's great. Great yeah. news.
Yeah. So
maybe
I think
we should change the intro to the segment then.
I think so. We're definitely, we have 6 children. One happens to be in the hopper. And I believe we are just about a month or month and a half ahead of you guys.
Okay. Yeah. So, I think we are January. That's when we're due.
Okay. We're due in December.
Yeah. So do you guys plan on, finding out if it's a boy or a girl, or what's your plan here?
That is a great question. And I believe this time we are going to wait. It's going to be a surprise this time. That's the going consensus. We're still before the 20 weeks, so we wouldn't be able to find out yet anyway. But we have found out on all the other 5 children except for one. Our second oldest was a surprise, and she really wants this one to be a surprise also. And I think we're gonna let that happen.
Okay. Yeah, no, I'm with you.
We have a lot of other things going on in our life right now, and I think that's just one thing we can kind of hold off and wait a little while for.
All right. We've kind of talked about this a little bit, and I think that we want to find out what it's going to be, a boy or a girl.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and we haven't done that in quite a while. We've kind of done the surprise thing for quite a bit. So, but this time I think we're going to go ahead and try to see, you know, to find out if it's a boy or a girl.
Well, that's fun. It is fun to find out. It gives you so you can, you know, gives you somebody you're looking forward to if it's a boy or a girl. And so that's pretty fun. So we're both changing it up a little bit this time.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, this is kind of out of the norm for us. So we're going to figure out some way that we can do the reveal or something like that. So, yeah, so that's good. So anyway, so being homeschool dads that we are and having wives that are pregnant is kind of like it's like overtime. It's like homeschool dad overtime, right? It's like the playoffs or something. You know, if you had to do like a sports metaphor or whatever.
I like the overtime. I'll run with the overtime one because I was just thinking about this. Maybe we were talking about this at one point where, you know, you just put in a full day, maybe a little extra time. Maybe you're coming home a little later. Maybe you went in a little early and it's just about as a packed day in the office and your head is tired. You're just exhausted from talking. If you, what my job, we were in meetings a lot. So I'm talking and thinking a lot. Brain is exhausted. The drive home is nice to kind of regroup. But as soon as I hit the driveway, I don't even know if I get in the front door. The kids know I'm home and it's game on. It's like, okay, great. Whatever problems I had before can no longer be my problem. They have to be put on the shelf, and now it's time to just dive in and get going. What is your routine? We actually have got into a routine this time, and I can't say with every baby we've gotten into a routine, but we've gotten into routine, and it's made a huge difference. I kind of wonder, what do you guys have a routine yet? What happens when Daddy Joe shows up?
I think we try to kind of have some idea of a routine. It changes because sometimes we have different events that are going on around the house, things like that. But in general, when I get home, I need to not try to do anything except for just like pay attention to the kids and what they're doing. that's kind of my main focus is like, okay, what are we doing now? Are we having dinner? Are we getting ready for bed? Do I need to go clean something up? Or do I need to fix something? Or, you know, whatever it might be. That's kind of my main focus. So there has been a couple times this week where, you know, I shoot off a little text. I say, hey, I'm leaving. I'll see you in a little bit. And then I get, you know, a text that comes back says, would you stop by and pick me up? You know, something at the store or something like that. And I don't know about you, but I kind of, you know, I do definitely feel like if there's anything that I can do, you know, I can pick something up for my wife because she's a little bit hungry and she wants something to eat pretty much like right now. I'm trying to remember what it was. Thai food. I had to get Thai food for her one day, one day this week. And then the next day, I think it was like a chocolate donut. Or something, something like that. So I kind of get those random requests. I guess what I'm trying to say is it's not very structured. it kind of just happens.
Yeah,
is what we do.
yep. So I'll share this and for what it's worth. So I've been doing a lot of like studying and everything on intentionality. It's been kind of a big theme for me right now is intentionality. And kind of in a lot of different ways, but having rituals or routines is a big part of that. And so my wife, very similar to yours, gets sick not in the morning. It's not morning sickness. It's actually evening sickness. And it's usually around 2:30 or 3 o'clock. So by the time I get home, she's been struggling for a few hours. And the last thing that she's been able to get to is dinner. And so what we've done is actually I'll show up and we will, she'll be tapped out. She's ready to just go lay down. And if she's not laying down already, she's going to head there now. And then my deal is I jump right into the kitchen and I'm making dinner. We found this works out really well. So it keeps me busy because I have a tendency, to get distracted if I don't have something specific to do. And I do actually enjoy cooking. I enjoy getting into the kitchen. And so I'll get home and I'll start to make dinner. In fact, my wife even has been ordering, these meals that, from Blue Apron. I don't know if anybody knows Blue Apron, but I've been very, very pleased with this service. So twice a week we get a meal with food packaged up, ready to go. And it has the recipe. It has the instructions on what to do to cook it. And it's just the right amount of food for our family. It takes about 25 to 35 minutes to cook. And then it's dinner time. It's worked out really well.
That sounds nice.
Yeah. Yeah. And the kids are able to kind of keep themselves busy during that time.
Is there a lot of prep time?
No. So there's, for the food that comes from Blue Apron, its prep is like 10 or 15 minutes.
That's not bad.
It's almost all included. All the ingredients are included, even olive oil or other things like you might need, like knickknacks like that. They provide the right amount in with the meal. So all you need is an oven or stovetop with the right pans and things like that, and you're good to go. So it's actually
okay.
Really, really pretty convenient. And then we'll, for the other days, we've done some meal planning, and so we'll either have leftovers or we have a meal plan that we went shopping for over the weekend. Then after that, I finish after that. So the kids are done. I'm done. Now I clean the kitchen because one thing I don't like having the kitchen get piled up.
Sure.
Usually gets piled up during the day because my wife is pregnant and can't get to everything.
Yeah.
And so I get to help her with that. So I'm cleaning the kitchen and I'm finishing feeding our baby who's just, 15 months, 16 months. Finishing feeding her. And then the older kids are, have found a way to keep themselves busy with games or like board games or anything. When this is a new deal for us, they're kind of like maturing into this phase.
And into a little bit of independence.
Yeah, yeah. It's unbelievable. I'm loving it. Like,
this is nice.
I was like, wait, you guys are playing by yourself. What is this? So,
yeah. See, yeah. I have the same thing, except I don't have to always do the dishes because I have kids that will do that.
Yes, that is very nice.
but that doesn't mean that all these little toddlers don't still need tons and tons of help and oversight. It's just,
right,
you know,
right.
Like pretty much like by the time we make it to dinner and then mom is done, like she's like, I have food and now I want to sleep and yep. Leave me alone. Tell everyone to leave me alone.
Dad, it's up to you. You finish the day.
Yeah, that's right. You know, I've kept them all alive, and now you finish and put them to bed.
Yes. You know, what's interesting is I've also figured out that if I just stay on my own schedule and, you know, if they're hungry and the dinner is ready, I tell them, hey, dinner's ready. And if you are ready, then just you're coming to dinner. But if I finish my meal before you have made good progress on yours, you're not going to eat. I'm not going to delay dinner because you guys weren't ready.
Yeah.
It's kind of a combination child driven, parent driven. I think, I don't know. I haven't figured that out yet, but you know what? They actually come and they eat. And if they don't eat. And it seems like they weren't really even hungry anyway. So it's kind of an odd thing, but that's taken a lot of stress out of, kind of getting there. I miss not having like the nice family dinner, but where we're at right now, I think that's okay.
Yeah, sure, that's all right. I mean, we didn't have like the most structured dinner today. Today was pretty wild. We the family went to go see a cousin that came in from out of town that they haven't seen for like a really long time, like maybe a decade, I think, or something like that. So they had a chance to get together, but it was. you know, it was like everyone is behind. There's zero dinner plan, you know, and it's like, okay, Dad, it's all on you. What are you going to do? And I'm at home, and I'm like, okay, well, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to go get pizza.
Done.
I'm just going to go get pizza and bring it back and just, you know, make it at least a little bit easier.
Yeah, I love that.
Anyways, yeah.
Nice.
Cool. All right. So, hey, so we also had this past weekend Father's Day. Pretty good. Pretty cool, right?
Yeah, absolutely. My favorite day of the year, maybe.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, that's pretty nice, you know, like, hey, dads, we, you know, we get a day to celebrate. So, Father's Day for you last Sunday, how did it go? What'd you guys do?
You know, actually, it was a lot of fun. My parents, who do not live in town, they happen to be over here because my nephew graduated high school past weekend. And so we had a open house for him on that Saturday. So my parent and they live actually my nephew and his family live nearby. So my parents traveled into town for that. And then they happened to be here on Father's Day as well. So we met up with them for a lunch picnic in a town called Snoqualmie, and they have a train museum, which was a lot of fun. So we went to there and enjoyed a picnic. The weather was beautiful. The day before was downpours.
So you caught a little bright spot in there?
Yeah. So we got a great picnic and a lot of fun with my mom and dad. Yeah, so that's what we did. And then obviously trains are just awesome for the kids. They love watching those. And there's a little like tourist train that like a true steam locomotive that goes back and forth between a few of the smaller towns up there. Yeah. And so that came through a few times and they got super excited about that. All in all, it was a great relaxed day. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Yep.
How about you? Yeah, so for us we made our trip out to church, and the pastor at church is currently doing a series on parenting in general. Yeah. And so I think this past week it was a discussion about love, and it was super, super nice. It talked about all kinds of ways where parents should be more compassionate, more kind, patient, not provoke their kids to anger. It was just a really, really good Father's Day sermon just to kind of encourage me about how crappy I am and, you know, just kind of remind me how I can be doing a much better job of being a parent. So I don't know if that was necessarily his intention, but I had an inkling. I was like, man, Father's Day, going to church, I bet you I'm going to hear about how terrible of a dad I am today.
Wow. Well-known speaker, Vody Bakum once would say, hey, if you can't say amen, you got to say ouch.
Yeah. So there was a lot of that, that was happening. So, that was church. And then, after that we came back home and just kind of, relaxed, a little bit. I recorded, another video with my son, with Corbin. We got that video done. We've been working on that guy for a while. I had a video that I was doing with my wife, but I had some technical difficulties and I ended up losing all of the audio. So I had all this video and I have no audio. So it kind of became a wash. And now she's pregnant, so pretty much she doesn't want to do anything right now.
I was gonna say, like, you're an amazing dad because you're doing a video with your son, but then you said that you blew it with your wife's video. Now, yeah, you're a terrible father, husband.
Yeah. No. So, but I have a new, while we were doing the video for Jess, I broke the lens, the camera lens.
What?
Yeah. Wow. I broke it. So I lost the audio and I broke the camera lens.
Oh, that's painful.
So I was like, oh my gosh. So I was a little bit distressed there. But good news was I was able to pick up, because I got a little bit of money back from the car that we bought, the car.
Yeah.
And so I got a new toy. And nice. And it's this GoPro Plus, Hero Plus. Mm. It's pretty sweet. So I don't know if I told you, but I was pretty much sitting in the store, and I was looking at all these videos they have of these extreme sports guys. They're like BMX biking and underwater diving and, you know, parasailing, jumping, all this cool stuff. And you're like, man, this is so awesome. All these guys are doing all this really cool, awesome stuff. And then I sat and thought, and I was like, hey, wait a minute. I'm doing cool, awesome stuff, like, all the time. You ever come home and, like you're talking about, you're just absolutely assaulted by all these kids, and there's kids everywhere, and things are happening, and it's just going crazy, and there's loud noises, and you're like, ah, and you're doing 10 things at once. Mm. Like, give me a break. It's pretty awesome. It's pretty wild.
Yeah. So, sweet anyway, cacophony of a large family.
Yeah. So I'm going to start cataloging that, and I think I'm going to start some videos that we're doing on Reconstruction Life and make some extreme dad videos. And so we'll show those other guys up and be like, hey, what's up? Yeah. I do your little BMX biking. Oh, this is real life. I'm changing the world. You know,
I love that. Yeah. I'm coming home and I'm getting assaulted. I'm getting a little toddler terrorist action going on, and I'm taking names, and we are making it happen. I'm a father.
Yeah. So I am dad.
Maybe we can make
an ad for that. I am dad.
Yeah. I can hear the chant in the background too. Go dad, go dad. You know?
So I think it'll be fun. We'll see if it takes off, or not. So,
that'll be pretty fun. I look forward to it.
Yeah. So that'll be good. Awesome. All right. So, what's segment we're on next?
Okay.
This is where we insert the commercial, right? We're going to go to break and be like, all right, everybody, this is where we're going to commercial. Are you ready?
Commercial. And that's commercial. When our sponsor steps in. Now we haven't.
Sponsor.
Yeah, we don't have a sponsor yet, but we'd love it. We're open to sponsors. So this could be you right now.
Yeah,
this is a sponsor spot.
Everyone's listening to you or us talk about this awesome thing.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it could have a little segment for GoPro, for extreme dads, or something like that.
Or Blue Apron for large families.
Yeah. For pregnant families who need food when it matters. Pizza places.
Yeah, we'll take pizza places. I mean, there's places that you can order online. They're national chains. Any of those are valid sponsors. I could imagine a lot more other options too. So anyway, that was your spot. That was the
commercial
break. There it goes. Okay.
And it's over. All right. And so we're back. Here we are back, everyone. Hope you enjoyed that break there. That was a nice little spot. Okay. So this next bit that we have going up is going to be worst week's excuses. Are you ready? Worst week's excuses. All right, Dan, worst excuse that I heard this week, and it happened on Father's Day coming back from church. And it was, but she stuck her tongue out at me. and so I was like,
yep.
What? Why did you hit your sister? She stuck her tongue out at me.
Well,
that just justifies all of it right there. Of course, if she's like, that's an instant, right?
Yeah.
If someone sticks their tongue out at you. Does anybody at work stick their tongue out at you?
No, but if they did, I'd punch them.
Exactly. They know that because they were once four.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what
happened. So as a dad, I mean, you're just kind of like, you're done. They took the wind out of your sails, chopped you off at the knees. I mean, you have nothing to stand on there.
Yeah, because I'm like, that's true. That's why I don't stick my tongue out at people, because I don't want them to hit me.
Yeah.
Right?
Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. So I don't know if that was really an excuse or not, but
I mean, that's good. So, okay.
Definitely didn't work out well. So, yes. No, you don't get to hit your sister because she stuck her tongue out at you. Okay? You are responsible for your own actions. I do not care what anybody does to you. You are not allowed to sin. Period. Got that?
Done. I love it.
Done.
90% of
the response to somebody acting upon you in a negative way, 90% of that is how you respond. You control 90% of that response. I heard that somewhere. I liked it. Means, yes, you are responsible for your own actions. And yeah. How'd that four-year-old take it? Did she just say, oh, yeah, okay, Dad, you're right. I am so sorry. I asked for forgiveness, and I asked forgiveness of my sibling who I punched. or was it different than that?
Well, the one that stuck the tongue out at was, you know, like 22 months old, so...
Oh,
she yeah. just kept sticking her tongue out at her. And I'm in the car. Okay, this is what happens.
I love that.
Dan.
I love that you didn't add that detail until much later. She just makes it all that much better. I was picturing like a 4 and a 6 year old going at her, but no. 4 year old was upset with the 2 year old.
yeah. And this is what happens, Dan, is that in the car, you know, it's basically like parents are powerless. And the kids know it. They know it. They're like, we're on the road. We're moving. We're on the freeway. You're not going to do anything.
I love this.
You won't do a thing. We know it. We know it. Right? Right? It's too inconvenient. We got to get somewhere. We're going to be late. Whatever. Da, 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 da.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
That pretty much, but that creates an opportunity as well. It's an opportunity to teach and to train. I don't know who's doing the training though. Are they trained? Do children train the parent more than the parent trains the child?
I don't think it's supposed to go that way.
No,
I'm pretty sure that's not the direction it's supposed to move.
Okay. So we're going to encourage each other to not let that happen and step into the chaos and bring order. Out of
allow yourself to be late to take the time.
That's right.
To talk to your kid. And if you see a gigantic van quickly veering off the freeway to head for the exit, you know, it might be us.
That actually is dad being super dad right there. That's superhero mentality right there is taking the time, slowing down enough to say, look, where I'm going is less important than what I do with my child and the character I can grow with my child if I take the moment to invest right now. So well done.
Amen.
I love that.
Amen.
Okay. So my worst, excuse for the week is, came from one of my daughters and, we actually get this one a lot, but it was especially memorable. So we live in a two-story home, so there's stairs that go upstairs. We have bathrooms on the main floor and the upstairs. They were both available, and I happened to be upstairs. My daughter was downstairs, and she says, Daddy, quick, come get me. My legs don't work, and I have to go potty upstairs. Wait. Your legs don't work? What happened? What did I miss? Are they broken? What happened? No, she just didn't want to climb the stairs. But she really had to go to the bathroom. She could have used the one downstairs, but she just had to use the one upstairs. So worst excuse of the week, my legs don't work.
Okay.
Yeah. So she wanted me, she's a grown, she's not a 2 year old. She wanted me to come down and carry her up the stairs. She wanted me to come downstairs, pick her up and carry her upstairs so she could use the upstairs bathroom.
Yeah. So, well, you're kind of getting put in a difficult spot there because what are you going to say? No. Are you going to call her? Are you going to call her bluff?
Oh yeah. No, I will. I did. I said, fine. Then right. you can just. Not, I mean, just go in your...
Either not go to the bathroom or go right there.
Or go right there. What's it going to be?
Yeah. That's
guess
bold.
What? She figured out how to get her legs to work to go up the stairs.
That's bold. Yeah. You've been called.
Yeah.
Call.
So anyway, my wife and I got a kick out of that. My legs don't work. So.
Yeah, I'm going to tell my boss that when he tells me to come in to work early next time.
Yeah, exactly.
My legs don't work. Okay, awesome.
Great. Next segment.
Boom. All right, next.
We're moving along.
Moving
so
on.
These segments,
moving
I just for
right
the audience,
along.
What we're trying to do is we're trying to create some segments we're going to rotate through. And so when you hear that we're going to another segment, you can get excited. You have anticipation. Maybe we'll even have it in like the show description of like, hey, in this show, we address these segments. So kind of trying to build a future, a vision for what ReconCast is going to look like out there in the future. Some consistency, some structure. So that's exciting. So we got through catching up. We shared some news. We had a break. We had worst week excuses. And now, Mr. Joe, what is the next segment?
All right. Well, we may have to work a little bit on our segues, but that's okay. That's all right. So next segment that we have here is we're going to be talking about the best non-theologically driven theological question that came from one of our children. Mm. Maybe we can come up with a better name than that because it's really mouthy.
It was a little bit more mouthy.
Mouthy.
Now that you say it out loud versus when I wrote it down. I think the idea is good because
yeah,
I'm trying to
figure like,
out
can
how.
Can we just like make it like instead of.
We can work on that. Yeah, I think that's
okay. Maybe so, off air.
Maybe off air. I'm okay. Good with that.
All right, cool. All right, so deep kid theology. Okay, here we go. Deep kid theology. So for this week, all right. You want me to go first?
All yeah, right, here we go. Go ahead. I've
all right,
got
so,
one. Go ahead.
All right, so for what I had this week. And it wasn't necessarily this week. It's I think it was a couple weeks ago. But we go to church every week, and the church we're going to, they have communion every single week.
Yep.
And so this presents an incredible opportunity for us, right? So the communion that they're doing here at this church is a little different than any church that I've ever been to before. The pastors and some of the elders are up front, and they have the elements up there, the bread and the wine, and they have all the congregants, those who are partaking come up it up to the front. And so they all kind of file into a line in the middle and then come through and then like funnel circle out and back to their seats. So they just work their stuff from the front of the church to the back of the church. So it was kind of unique the first time I went, but you know, now a couple times I've done it, it's kind of nice. You know, it's a little free, little, you know, loose. Anyway, so, but the kids can come up with you. They can come up with you. But, you know, it's the same idea applies. Hey, don't take communion if you haven't been baptized. And I'm a Baptist. So a lot of my kids haven't been baptized yet. So, but they can come up with me. And then they, the pastor, the elder, when they see them, they see me there and they say, you know, the body of Christ and the blood of Christ. And I take the bread, I take the wine, I take the wine. I don't take the grape juice. I take the wine. And they say, oh, can I pray for your child? And I say, yeah, please, absolutely. So then they pray for whoever it is that I'm with there, you know, the baby or one of the younger kids or whoever. And then we're done. We go and I take my elements and we drop it off and go walk back. And the kids are asking me, they're like, Daddy, can I take communion or why can't I take communion?
Yeah,
this is a great question. Great question. You know, and so it's like we're in the middle of church. We're right in the middle of church. And this is a great and I try as best I can to let them know that's a great question. That is a really good question. And I love that you're asking me that question. I'm happy that you're asking me that because they're obviously seeing. And I said, OK, well, honey, the community reserved for those who believe in Jesus. And those who have been baptized. So I try to like put the two together, like believe in Jesus and be baptized together real quick. Because if I just leave it over those who believe in Jesus, then they're going to be like, well, I believe in Jesus. and praise God that they say that. Praise God that they do. And I'm very happy for that. But, you know, you ever get it's kind of awkward. It's kind of that awkward moment for a second that you're like, how can I explain this to you very, very, very quickly? You know, so I get that. And then I do get the chance to spend some time talking with them later. So, you know, opening up an opportunity to kind of share with them and say, hey, yeah, you have to believe that Jesus rose from the dead, confess with your mouth that he's Lord, and then believe in your heart God raised him from the dead. And then you should be baptized. And then after you're baptized, then you can take communion. And that's how it goes.
Yep.
And that's how it works.
And that's...
So...
That's a great answer for a great, deep question that has a lot more to it.
Yeah, but it's just... But it's like... I have to make it very quickly.
Yes. Because you're in church and...
Yeah. I'm in the aisle. I'm in the aisle. Yeah. So... anyways, yeah, that's where we were. That's what we were talking about.
Great.
All right. Okay. What about you?
So, I'm trying to think through different questions we've been asked. I didn't have a very good question that was non-theological in nature that was actually theological. So kind of, but what we were going through the book of John in our family time, and one of my daughters goes, Dad, I can't be a mother and a daughter at the same time. So how can God be a father and a son at the same time? Wow. It's a great. Well, actually, eventually you will be a mother and a daughter. But, you know, I love the deepness of that. I think that she's trying to wrestle with this fact that she says God the Father and then God the Son. And how are they different but the same? So we got to talk about the Trinity, which for a 7-year-old, you know, is a concept they're really going to get.
7-year-old, 37-year-olds.
Yeah. So, but anyway, you know, get to talk about some of that. We get to talk about... you know, what it means that Jesus was alive and is alive and yet is fully God, fully man. Kind of start talking about some of those concepts and really try to train them and teach them and show them from Scripture and all. But so that was one of the better questions I got that kind of made me stop and think, okay, how do I answer a 7-year-old? How do I keep it so... Don't now, you know, you don't lower the bar because we're not Arminian. We aren't lowering. We aren't making excuses for the gospel. We're not trying to get. But yet, how do I keep it so that a child can understand, right? Yet not compromise the gospel at all. Not compromise anything around the way how Christ answers questions. So. I love that. I love the challenge in that. We're going to keep talking about those questions. So that was okay. Probably my best question of the week.
Cool. All right. Sounds good. all right. Great. All right. So for our what we're going to be talking about here for our main topic, we're going to have to save it for another day.
All right. I like that.
So we're not going to sweat it too much today. We'll kind of catch up again. What we want to kind of do is just be able to touch base with each other.
That's right.
A little bit on a semi-regular basis now. I mean, two podcasts this year, I think, right? Two podcasts this year.
I know. And maybe. It's only June.
It's only June.
I mean, this is great. So, well, I am excited to get a little more consistent. So one thing we wanted to touch on before we close off, though, was like potential other segments. So we kind of had the worst week excuses. We had maybe a good name, like you kind of best deep kid question. Toddler terrorist moment. What was the best moment of toddler
terrorizing
terrorism?
Toddlers.
You know,
yeah, that's nonstop, brother. That's nonstop.
I saw a meme. My wife was over there, just started cracking up as she's looking at her Facebook feed, and this meme comes up, and it says two pictures. The top one says, "Hey, the kitchen and dishes are all clean, all cleaned up." The bottom picture says, "Meanwhile, in the living room." And there are toys everywhere, and there's three kids looking at the camera, smiling. It was great. It was like, you know, that's reality. That's life. So, so that's another topic or another segment that we were thinking about.
Sure.
So anyway, love.
I've also been doing some stuff with my kids, some of my older kids. We've been going and doing some reviews and things like that on movies. And right now, most of our stuff is on blogs. And so we're going to be working on putting, kind of synthesizing some of that stuff together, because we do see a need to be able to engage and interact with a lot of different media out there. And so I'm kind of helping to help them sharpen their swords together. But then also I'm going to bring them on with me to do a podcast with the kids. So that I can talk to them about some of the things that we saw and some of the things that we were thinking about as we were watching all these movies, to help them just kind of be able to express, you know, what their thoughts were.
Yeah.
And what we kind of came up with. So that'll be coming up here in the near future as well. We're working on that too.
I like that.
So that's still coming. That's still coming down the pipe. It's all projects in the works.
Yeah.
We had also talked about maybe sometime here in the future. We did the Pierce test thing, and you know, were you taking the test
mm-hmm.
this time?
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember.
Yep.
Okay. And then so I have a bunch of people took the test, and I don't think everybody's quite done yet. So as soon as they're done, then we'll be able to get the results. But I thought it would be a good chance for us to maybe start thinking about prepping to do some interviews. Stuff like that.
Oh yeah, you know? I think maybe get somebody from the Nehemiah Institute on to do an interview.
Yeah, I think we could maybe start exploring that option,
be very cool.
Being able to interview people. Yeah, and then coming up here, we also had discussed. I don't know if we're both going to be able to do it, but on the 30th of June, there's going to be an event down in Arlington. Curtis Bauer. He's the director, producer, guy extraordinaire for Agenda, Agenda 1, the original, and Agenda 2. Anyways, he is coming out here.
Documentaries.
He is coming out here to Washington with his family, and they're going to have like a dual movie showing on Thursday, June 30th, out at one of the churches.
Yep.
And I believe that Christian Heritage is also going to be sponsoring as well this event. They put out some information recently about it. But I think maybe if we get the opportunity, maybe we could do an interview with Mr. Bowers as well. Did you watch the Agenda movies?
I have. Yeah, I've seen them both. They're fantastic. They speak to the agenda of the political powers that be and their influence in our society and culture and where they're going and where they've come from. They're quite revealing. So yeah, if you haven't seen them, I encourage you to do that. The ChristianHeritageOnline.org is the URL where there's information on that. It's ChristianHeritageOnline.org. It's a great organization out here in the Pacific Northwest. They have a annual homeschool conference. You know, they bring in excellent speakers for that. But they've got, they're doing this screening for Agenda 2. And I forget the other one. It's actually a movie that's not released yet. It's a follow-up by the same folks who did.
Yeah, it's a pre-release showing the people who made Runners from Ravenshead.
Yeah.
Have you seen that?
Yeah. No, we have not been able to see that yet.
The kids really liked it. It was basically like a movie done, but all the actors were kids.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of cute. Anyways, but now those same people who did Runner from Ravenshead are doing The Defense of New Haven.
That's right.
Yep. And so that will be shown simultaneously with Agenda 2 for the showing. So they're actually going to be having two showings, one on Monday, June 27th in Grandview, Washington, and then one on Thursday, June 30th. In Arlington, Washington. They're going to be at 6:30 p.m. in Grandview and 6 p.m. In Arlington. And I think that you do probably want to RSVP because I have no idea how much seating there's going to be. But our family did already RSVP, so we're planning on being there.
Yep.
And it's a great venue. You can make it.
That church is fun. We've been there before. I mean, it's a really nice venue. So
yeah. And anyway, if you can make it, if Dan can make it, then he'll be there with us, and hopefully we can talk to Mr. Bowers or somebody over there about Agenda 2 and just kind of a little bit about what he's doing and you know, how we can help him promote and pass on his message. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, actually, so those are just a couple things coming up.
Great. That sounds great. Okay. Well, Joe, it's been great. Great to catch up and go through a few of these segments, kind of try that out, and you know, look forward to the next time. So, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. No, it was good. All right. So that's it for our episode. Episode 4 of ReconCast. Thank you to our fan.
Yes.
We've done it all for you. Did it all for you.
Yep.
Okay? I hope you enjoy. If you have any thoughts, you can just respond back to us. We are planning on being on iTunes here pretty soon, which is going to make us super official. So we're going to be on iTunes. Please comment and tell us what you think when you see us up there. All right? All right. We'll see y'all later.
Okay. Thanks, Joe. ReconCast, episode 4, in the books. ReconCast, episode 4.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to ReconCast.
Thank you for listening to this episode of ReconCast. Don't forget to visit ReconstructionLife.com and ReconstructionistRadio.com.